Galatians chapter number 3. We're in verse 26, 27, 28, and 29. Last week we got through one verse, and hopefully we'll get to take on the other two, the other three here. Let's start reading in verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, when you come into this section of Romans 3, that's tonight. Come tonight for Romans 3. When you come to this section here in Galatians 3, we looked last time at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How are you the child of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. You're not born the child of God just because you were born into humanity. There is great heresy doctrine out there about because you're born human, you're born in the image of God. And you're not. Adam wasn't born, he was created in the image of God. Genesis 5 says that Adam begat sons and daughters in his image. So you're born in the image of Adam, that wonderful little sin nature that he gave you and all that other good stuff. So when we're talking here about the child, the children of God, we're talking about being born of God. He made you a child, born into the family. But he did it, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. That's how it's accomplished. In the evening meetings, we're studying through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans 3. But now the righteousness of God without the law is being made manifest. And he goes on and talks about how the faith of Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. It's made available. The provision is unlimited. It's made available to everybody. But it's limited in its application because it's an issue of faith. There is a participation of your free will in the equation. So when you come here, he's made you a child of God, born into the family. That's what a child is, someone that's a born one. And he's placed you into this wonderful status of an adult in the family. And that's really what we're getting to in chapter 4, which hopefully we'll start next week, is Paul is taking the doctrine here in chapter 3, and he's building for chapter 4, because he's going to talk here about being an heir and so forth down in 4:1. But he says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Notice the for. Now, the for is therefore further explanation. And notice it doesn't say by faith in Christ Jesus and as many as you have been baptized. He says, no, you're by faith, you're the child of God, you're born into the family by faith in Christ Jesus. For further, more information. Here's what happens to you when you become a child of God. You're what? You're baptized into Christ and you put on Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we get to talk about baptism. J.C. O'Hare called it the religious TNT. Because you start talking about baptism and the whole conversation literally blows up. Because there is so much misunderstanding about baptism from a failure to rightly divide the Bible. Okay? And when you come in here, because everyone has been baptized because of their faith in Christ, what are they? The child of God. Baptism in your Bible, come back with me to Matthew 3. Baptism in your Bible is, every time you say baptism, everybody goes, water, water, and that's just not the case. Okay? Baptism in your Bible is a ceremony. It's a religious ceremony to identify the believer. That's what it is. Okay, The moment you trusted in Christ, by faith in Christ Jesus, you were baptized, where? Into Christ. And you have put on Christ. So we're not talking about a ceremony here. We're talking about an identification here. Matthew 3, look at verse number 11. Anytime you're going to deal with somebody about baptism and they instantly say, well, every time baptism shows up in the Bible, it's talking about water, read them this verse. And if they're being honest with the verses, then they'll acknowledge something about this verse. I, John the Baptist is speaking, indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what?
Fire.
Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, in that verse, there's three baptisms. There's a baptism with water, then there's a baptism with fire, and there's a baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm emphasizing that word with because what does Paul tell us? We are baptized by the Holy Spirit. See, the guy doing the baptizing in Matthew 3 is the Lord Jesus Christ. The guy who's baptizing you and I into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, we'll get over there in just a minute, is the Holy Ghost doing the baptizing. So you got two different baptizers, if you will. Okay? So you got to understand that first of all. By the way, notice in verse 11 there, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That ends up being Acts 2, when the empowerment falls on them and so forth. And the fire. Now, what's the fire? Well, verse 12, that's the judgment. That's out here, the 70th week of Daniel out there that talks about going through the fire. Remember Daniel's three amigos when they're stuck in the fiery furnace with Nebuchadnezzar? Okay? That's a picture of what's going on here, of the fire, of the judgment. But now, watch. The question that I would have is, how do I get out of the fire? How do I not go through the fire? Well, come back with me to Numbers 31. Numbers 31. I asked the question so early of myself that I gave it to you in your notes, in your handout there. Numbers 31, if you will. Numbers 31. And notice here, I've got to make a note here. Notice here how you get out of the fire, how to miss the fire. Verse number 21, Numbers 31, 21. And Eleazar, the priest, said unto the men of war, which went to battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold and the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead. Everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the what? Water of what?
Separation.
And all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through where?
Water.
Now let me ask you something. Can you abide the fire? If the men of war put people up in that fire, what would happen to the people? They would die. But the gold, the brass, the silver, the tin is going to stand it. So if I want to go through the fire, make it abide the fire, then what do I have to have? The water of separation. I have to have a water baptism, if you will. I have to have a ceremony that identifies me as being what? Separate from that stuff over there. So, if I want to miss the fire, where do I have to go? I got to get in the water, don't I? I have to. If I'm back here in a Jew, I'm not a, you know, okay? So then, if I'm going to miss the judgment, that's why, folks, a water baptism is a religious ceremony to identify the believer. Because what does it do? It separates them out away from that apostate nation, the unbelievers. Look over with me at Ezekiel 36, because one day this is going to happen for them. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse number 24. Ezekiel 36, 24. He says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I, what? Cleanse you. What do they need to be clean from? The idolatry, the Baal system, the religious system that they had bought into that wasn't theirs. Okay, the satanic policy of evil against the nation of Israel. Here they are, and they buy into it. So when you're talking about water, and you're talking about back in Matthew 3 there, the issue of the fire in verse 11, you want to get out of it, what do I have to have? I have to have the baptism. I have to have the water baptism. That's why if you go back over to the book of Luke, and I've got to find it here, Luke 7, Luke chapter number 7, Luke 7, verse number 29, Luke 7, 29, he says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of who? Well, what did John baptize with? Water. Being baptized with John's baptism with water did what? It identified the believing remnant. It says these are the guys who are believing the word of God, which says you got to get in the water to miss the fire. Okay? Now watch the next verse. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. There's Jews that did what to the counsel of God, to the word of God? Rejected it. And guess what they weren't? They weren't baptized. They weren't believing the word of God. So then guess what they get to go through now? The fire. And people look at me like you're nuts to say there's two elements within the nation of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ just said there was two elements within the nation of Israel. A believing remnant and an unbelieving remnant. Oh, Acts chapter number 1. Matthias, Peter here tells them in Acts 1, you guys, we got to get our number solid again. We got to get that 12th apostle in here. And when we go to do that, we have some criteria that has to be met. And they have in Acts 1 here, they're all together. And he says in verse 21, wherefore these men, which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the what? The baptism of John. Why was the Lord Jesus Christ baptized of John in John 1? To make him manifest to the nation of Israel. To identify him with that believing element. By the way, not only that, but unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two. Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And Matthias is the 12th apostle in the picture. And Paul is the 13th apostle. By the way, you know what the number 13 is, don't you? Rebellion. There he is. Who are you Gentiles? We are rebellious by nature, even though our number is the number 10. But so when you come back to Galatians 3 with me, when Paul says here you're identified on your way, get 1 Corinthians 12. Here's our verse. This is what he's talking about when he says you're baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13, he says, For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There's our baptism. It is a spiritual baptism. It isn't a physical baptism. We're not trying to miss the fire. Okay? But notice it's for by one Spirit. By the Spirit, not with the Spirit, not trying to duplicate the Spirit, but it's by the Spirit. That's why I was pointing out in Matthew 3, it's with the Spirit. So that's what Paul's talking about. That today, when you and I, by faith in Christ Jesus, are made children of God, we are identified into who? Into Christ. We're identified with Christ so completely, so totally, that to see him is to see us now. And to see us is to see him. That's amazing. But that's what it is. Now, come over with me to Colossians chapter number 2. Because unless you think, before you think, this is some mystical event that you're going to feel it run down the back of your spine and make your hair stand up on there. You know what does that, don't you? It's called emotion. Okay? But watch Colossians 2. Colossians 2:12. 2:9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, talking about Christ. And you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom? In Christ. Also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made, notice now, without hands. In putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Folks, when you believe in Jesus Christ, one of the blessings that comes your way is He literally circumcises you away from your body. He takes a scalpel and He takes your soul and He cuts it away from that body of sin. Now, the only thing that can do that, Hebrews 4 says, is what? The Word of God. It's quick and the discerner of thoughts and intents down to the joints and marrow. And, I just missed the phrase. Hebrews 4:12 is the verse. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Only the Word of God can come into you and take you and carve you up. That's why you got to know how to study it and so forth. But when you come over here into Colossians 2, we're not done yet. Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the what?
Operation
of who? God. Boy, you're on the operating table, spiritually speaking, and what's He doing? He's carving out the what? The new man. He's carving you up because you're no longer in Adam. You're where? In Christ now. So He's changing your identity. So when you talk about baptism, what we're talking about, come back with me to 1 Corinthians 1, isn't water, it's a supernatural event. Because the supernatural event, the operation of God, is to take you out of your sin nature and put you into a new nature. That's why you are called a new creature. That is why you're called a new man. Something new is going on here. You're a new species of humanity. You know that? You know? When the rapture happens, the day of redemption happens, you literally get a new physical body. One designed to function in the heavenly places. You're something new. And I know what all the people out... I quit reading the internet. It made me so mad. These yahoos, I'm kidding you not. Well, the new man's been going on since Christ. No, it hasn't. If it has, it's not new. Sorry, it isn't new. New means what? New. Hadn't been there before. 1 Corinthians 1. Notice Paul's attitude about baptism here. Verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, do you know who Crispus is? Crispus, Acts 18, he's the pastor of the synagogue next door to the Corinthian church. Okay. Now, why would Paul baptize him? Because who does baptism belong to?
Israel.
Provoke them to jealousy, get them, boom, move them over, and he gets over there and the other side. By the way, the synagogue lost two preachers while Paul was next door. Crispus and Sosthenes. And how did he get them over there? How did he provoke them? By doing their gifts. By doing their sign gift program, and they come over, hey, what are you doing now? Well, let me tell you. Christ died for your sins, and boom, and lays it out for them. Now, Crispus and Gaius. Now, Gaius is, you go over to Romans 16, and he's where Paul stayed when he was at Corinth. It turns out that he's one of the, a politician in the city. He's a bigwig. And Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but who? Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Do you see how Paul's attitude is about this? I'm not keeping a tally. I'm not keeping records here of how many folks I've baptized. Now, the religious system does, don't they? When I was going to school, and there I went to a Baptist high school, and in the auditorium we had chapel Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I think they thought they could get us three times. I don't know. We're a bunch of bad kids anyway. But on Wednesday, on Monday, we would go in, and they had, you remember the boards on the side that kept attendance and the hymn numbers? They had a baptism attendant record. And for a couple weeks, the number never moved, I noticed. And then all of a sudden, it moved big. Well, what was it? It was in the quarter. Nobody was doing anything. But at the end of the quarter, it's time to make our number big. So what are we doing? We're keeping now we're going to have a big baptismal Sunday night. And if you want to be baptized, you come on down. We'll get you baptized. And then the numbers tick. And, you know, I want to buy 100, I think, one time. I'm like, man, well, what are they doing? Keeping track. What's Paul saying? I don't know. Why? Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That was Paul's attitude. It's changed, guys. But now watch the rest of that verse. Not with wisdom. How am I preaching the gospel? Not with wisdom of words. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I love that verse. We concentrated on the first half. But you know what that back half of that verse says? When they say to you, well, it's an outward showing of an inward faith, that's wisdom of words. I don't care how you want to coach it and make it look pretty, that's wisdom of words. And what did you just did? What did you just do? Cross wasn't enough. I got to help him out. You can't do that. Paul says, no. I wasn't keeping track because what's the issue? Preaching the gospel, making the cross an impact. Making it have some impact. So when you come back to Galatians 3 now, in verse 27, Paul says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's where we are. That's where our identity is. A supernatural event. Our new position. Literally, in the body of Christ. But then he says, have, Colossians 3:27, baptized into Christ, have what? Put on Christ. Not only do you have this identity, this new identity given to you by the Spirit, now you have this new life, a new dress, if you will. Look over with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. So just look at it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's an identity verse. Okay? That's an identification verse. You're on this side of the room. You get saved. Here's Calvary in the center. You get saved. You come out on the other side. You still go to work that next morning. But you go to work as who? A new creature. Okay, now you may look the same, most of you did. You may dress the same, most of you did. But what's going on into you spiritually? You have a new identity. That's what he's talking about here when he's talking about putting on Christ and being in Christ. He's talking about your identity. Now watch Colossians 3, verse number 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the what? The old man with his deeds. Put off that. And have put on who? The new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore, put on, get dressed, put him on as the elect of God. This is who you are. In your we're talking about service here now. We're talking about sanctification, and that's what Galatians 3 is about. Galatians 3 is about, you guys say, you guys started right, your justification is sound, you are justified by faith, but now you want to go, over there in Galatians 3 it says, you've begun right in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? You started right, now your sanctification, you want to go and add the law to it? Paul says, put on therefore as the elect of God, put on as the servants of God now, what? Holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's the Christian dress, folks. That's what you're to be putting on. Your justification is set. We're not talking about that. We're talking about your walk, and that's where he's at in Galatians 3. So when you come back into Galatians 3 here, what Paul is getting at and what he's driving in the doctrine with is, look, guys, that's why he asked a question back up there in the first part of 3. Are you so foolish? Verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You guys started right, but now you're trying to live the Christian life underneath the law program, and it isn't working. And you know what? It never works. And he says, look, guys, you're the child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And the moment that that happened, he identified you with the body of Christ, and he gave you this new identity. So let's go live in it now, which is coming in chapter 4. See what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Paul, the answer to Galatianism is grace.
Amen.
That's it. If you want to live under the law, then you're going to frustrate grace, you're going to fall from grace eventually, and you're going to end up in your Christian life going, oh, why bother?
Yeah.
Somebody one time told me, we were talking about some couple things, and they said, we're talking about the law, we just got tired of living under the thumb. Because everywhere we went, the thumb went. I said, well, praise the Lord. Good to hear. Finally, woke up. 3:28. Now watch Paul go in. Go on. There is neither. There is there. Where? In Christ. There is neither what? Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one. Where? How are we all one in Christ Jesus? By faith in Christ Jesus. But notice there, in Christ. Hold on to Colossians 3. Go back to Colossians 3 again. Because there's a list here, isn't there? There is a Jew and a Gentile, right? There is a bond and a free, right? There's a male. Whoops. Ma. There's a male and a female, right? Now watch 3:10. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So there's our identity, the new man. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither what? Circumcision or uncircumcision. There is neither what? What's the next one? Barbarian, Scythian. Bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. So we got the Scythian and the barbarian. What's he talking about here? You'll be the barbarian?
I'm the barbarian.
Okay.
I'm the barbarian.
Go back to Galatians 3. Well, I'm the Scythian, so it just sounds nicer. And I'm a nice guy. Go back to Galatians 3. What are we talking about here, folks? No, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's no national difference anymore. Circumcision and uncircumcision, no religious difference anymore. Circumcision and uncircumcision, that's a religious ceremony. Bond or free. There's no social status any longer. Male nor female. There's no physical. Not.
I write that right.
There's no physical status anymore. You know this, I am woman, hear me roar. Thanks. Doesn't work. Guys, it doesn't work for you either. Here, I am man, hear me roar. Why? Because there's no. By the way, we're not talking about having a unisex bathroom in the back room. Okay? I know we do, but that's what he's talking about.
Yeah. By the way, we did.
Yeah, we do. Actually, both of them are. That's because one is handicapped accessible and the other one isn't. Yeah. There's no Scythian or barbarian. Again, no social, governmental difference. What's he talking about there? We're all equal. That's what he's saying. Hey, folks, if you're in Christ, none of that matters any longer. But I tell you what, if you're over here in Adam, that matters all day long. If you're in Adam, being a Jew or a Gentile does have a make a difference. If you're any of this, it does make a difference in Adam. But you know what? Today in Christ, there ain't no difference no more. And amen is right. And that's what Paul's getting at. Paul is talking about the status of people today in the body of Christ. There's no favorable status before God for anybody. So when the guy says, well, I'm a circumcised Jew, whoop-tee-doo. Glad for you. Well, I'm a barbarian. Praise God, hallelujah, for you. Well, I'm a Scythian. By the way, that's educated, that's uneducated. That's what that is.
That's one of the barbarians.
Yeah. You can read. You're a sin. That's what's going on here. Okay? That's what Paul... Now, you've got to get verse 28. Because verse 29 is going to throw you for a loop if you don't get verse 28. You guys see this? Now, we just took two lists and kind of put them together, but that's what's going on here. No national identity, no national favor, no social status, no... It doesn't... Guys, you being a male doesn't get you anywhere a bit closer to God than the women do. Sorry. And unfortunately, sometimes the women are a little godlier than the men. Honestly. Okay? But notice what he says in verse 28 again. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. The only place in Scripture where there is total equality is in Paul's epistles in the body of Christ. If you go back in the Old Testament, in time past, and the ages to come out there, you instantly generate divisions again. Instantly. We're all one. Now watch verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now you got to remember verse 28 when you study verse 29. Okay? Because, and if ye be Christ, because Paul, the context of verse 29, okay, is verse 28, talking about the oneness that we have in Christ. Why? Because he's the issue. If ye be Christ, notice apostrophe S, you belong to him. You are his possession. Now, how did I become his possession? Well, I've been baptized into Christ. Well, why was I baptized into Christ? Because by faith in Christ Jesus, I became a child of God. Okay? See how... Okay, got to connect it. Well, because what's going to happen... I'll tell you why, and I'm stressing this here in just a second. You belong to Christ, and because you belong to Christ, who are you? Abraham's seed. And if you're Abraham's seed, then you're an heir of the what? Of the promise. Now, what's the promise? Eternal life, right? We've studied that. Back up to verse 6 of chapter 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Imputed righteousness. Because he gave Abraham imputed righteousness, therefore, what begins to happen here? Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of God. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and these shall all the nations be blessed, so that they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And what's the blessings of faithful Abraham? Imputed righteousness. Now watch verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of who? Of the Spirit through faith. Now what's the promise of the Spirit? Eternal life. Look over with me to Titus chapter number 1. Titus, is any of that foggy? Pretty clear. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 2. In the hope of what? Eternal life. Which God, that cannot lie, promised when? Now, let me ask you something. Is before the world began, before he created Adam? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before he created anything, what did he promise? Now, who did he make the promise to? No, there's nobody there. Who's there? The Godhead is there, right? So who did the Godhead make the promise with about eternal life? Himself. Ephesians 1, verse 9, he says he purposed what? Within himself. He looked at each other and said, we're going to have us a little eternal life program. You got to catch what's going on in that verse because we skip over it. Well, God cannot lie to you. He promised eternal life. And he did. But where did he do it? Before the world began. Before he said Boo, and Boo was created. You know who Boo is, don't you? He's the boogeyman underneath the bed. Okay? Boo. Before any of that happened, he says, I'm going to give eternal life to a group of people who are going to believe me and trust me. And I'm going to do it by faith in my word. And he says, hey, Boo, and that's the promise of the Spirit. Because who was standing there? The Spirit, the Son, and the Father. And he says, okay, we're good to go. So you guys got that, right? Everybody's good with the promise, right? But now what about this Abraham seed business? Because that's the business that everybody hooks into. Galatians 3:29, and if you be Christ, and you are by faith in Christ Jesus, you are by identity, then are ye Abraham's seed. Now how did you become Abraham's seed? By faith, right? But this verse gets used to say that you and I are spiritual Israel. Okay? All right? That's why I was stressing when you read 29, you've got to remember 28. Because what does 28 say? Today, there is no difference. So why do you want to be that? So you know what they do, don't you? They say, well, Israel fell. We'll give them that. You can't defute the verses. But we, the body of Christ, replaced Israel and became spiritual Israel. So they go back into Deuteronomy, where the curses are laid out, and say, see all those curses? Those fell on the national Israel. We get the blessings. Well, the survey says what? Thanks for playing. That's what they say. And they go back, and they claim all those blessings back there. And what is the answer? Verse 28. Today, in Christ, there is no difference. So, when you come into 29, I'm going to erase this off of here because I want to do something with you real quick. Okay? When you come into verse 29, again, Paul is laying the foundation here for chapter 4 because he's going to pick up on that error. Look at 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's going to pick up on that issue of an heir. Now why am I an heir? Because I'm of the Abraham seed, because I'm there by faith, I belong to Christ, because I'm there by faith, I've been baptized, I got this total identification package. And when we go into chapter 4, what he's going to lay out for us is we're going to learn how God has equipped us to live as adults, who we are, and not go back underneath the law. Not go back to the kindergarten. If you have kids, I say this, I tell them quit acting like a 2-year-old. People who go back under the law are acting like a 2-year-old. That's what they're doing. And Paul lays it out. Now, before we get there, just give me like 10 minutes and we'll be done, okay? There are 4 types of Abraham's seed in Scripture. Okay? There are 4 of them. Now, the first one is the physical nation of Israel. The physical Jew. That they are of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Ishmael, not Esau. If you were born of Ishmael or Esau, could you not say you're of the seed of Abraham? Yes, you can. He's my granddad. He's my great-granddad. You can say that. But what did God do spiritually? Not Ishmael, not Esau, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Out of these guys come who? The 12. The 12 tribes. All right? So they are what? Abraham's seed. They come from Abraham, right? But there's a problem with Israel, isn't there? Because in the physical issue, where do they go back to, really? In Adam, don't they? So there's a second seed line, and that's the issue of the spiritual seed line with the nation of Israel. Because there is a spiritual entity to the nation of Israel. They're called the believing remnant, the little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to take the kingdom from you, physical, and give it to the little flock, spiritual. Okay? So when you have the spiritual issues. Now, go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. So you have the physical issue, Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10. And notice verse number 15. Deuteronomy 10:15. Deuteronomy 10:15. Only the Lord had delight my fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. He chose Isaac, not Ishmael. He chose Jacob, not Esau. He made you the head, not the tail. Physical, 15. Now watch 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your what? They're to circumcise their what? Their heart. And be no more stiff-necked. Circumcise the heart. What does Stephen say in Acts 7? You're uncircumcised, where? In your heart. You're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your heart. Heart issue. There's two seeds in the nation of Israel. There's the physical one, which is everybody, but then there's a spiritual seed, too, that's coming out of it. Come over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy what? Heart. And the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, thou that thou mayest live. When does he do that? The new covenant. That's the new covenant. Gives them that new heart, pulls out that stony heart, gives them a new heart. Okay? So, come back over with me to Romans, chapter number 9. So, in Israel, Romans chapter number 9, you have two lines, if you will. You have a nation within a nation. Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 6. Romans 9, 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They are the descendants of the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're just not the spiritual descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The spiritual descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are going to be what? Doing it by faith. Okay, you can follow what's going on here? Chapter 2 of Romans. Chapter 2. Chapter 2. And by the way, if you're unclear, you know you can ask the question. I'm unclear. Okay, Romans 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. By the way, that's talking about the Jews. They ain't talking about a Gentile. The section here from 17 down to into chapter 3 is about the Jew. They ain't talking about a Gentile at all. So when you talk about the spiritual Israel, the circumcision, you have the heart. Now, there's a third one. Come over with me back to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. And watch verse number 16. Because here's the third guy. The third seed. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who?
Christ.
The third seed of Abraham is Christ himself. Now let me ask you something. How does Israel get their spiritual blessings? How does Israel get their spiritual situation taken care of? By being where? In Christ. He says, Jesus Christ says over there in John, I'm in you and you're in me and we're all in my Father. And you guys hear my voice. You're my sheep. I'm your shepherd. I'll take care of you. You guys get eternal life. Those who have what? Believed.
I before you.
Okay. Believed. They're believing here. Christ. The spiritual seed gets the job done because they are where? In Christ. Over in Romans. Romans 16, verse number 7, he says, salute Androcinus and Juno, my kinsmen. Well, who would that be? Jews. Okay, his kinsmen. And my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. They are what? They're in Christ. They're believers. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. That's the condition you're in. Sorry, they're in the third one. And they're in just one. But now, there's a fourth reference here. What have we been learning? Where are you? Where's the body of Christ? In Christ. So if we're in Christ, then what are we, 329? We're the Abraham seed. Now how did we get into Abraham's seed? By faith in Christ Jesus. How does Israel, spiritual Israel, get the job done? By being where? In Christ. See how confusing it can be? If you don't what? Rightly divide the word. Folks, we're all together, we're all in this because of who? Christ. That's how in Ephesians 2 he can say we're all of the household of God. And everybody go, see, we're spiritual Israel. No, you're not. That's how he can come along and say, hey, we're of the family of God in Ephesians 2. Because who's the foundation of both programs? Christ is. And we all get in there by faith. Follow what's going on? That's the four seed. There are four types, that seed line in there. The physical Israel, the spiritual element of Israel, because they're in Christ. And then there is the connection, the reference to you and I, because of Christ being back up to Abraham's seed. Now, if that isn't a wow and a double whammy to the wonderful Calvinistic non-dispensational Bible study people out there, then I don't know what else is. Because you just took all of their favorite passages and threw them out the second floor window here. We'd do it from the 105th floor, but we don't have that high. Seriously. Because it's faith in Christ. That's the issue. That's what Paul's driving at in Galatians. When you come back to Galatians 3, if you guys are wanting to go on to some maturity and some understanding of who you are and how God has equipped you, and we all do, then you can't go back over here and think you belong to this group, because there's no difference anymore. In the age of grace today, everybody's one in Christ Jesus. There is no difference. Speaking of Ephesians 2, never mind. Okay? All right? So, catch what's going on here. Paul's driving. Paul in Galatians 3 and 4, this is a doctrinal concept. Chapter 1 and 2, he answered the debate, he answered the questions, he answered the argument. Now he's going to come, he's laying out, you begin right, now you're living wrong. And you can't live the Christian life on your own. You got to be where you belong, who you are in Christ. So let's understand that. And that's understanding that you are a son of, you're an adult. And you know how adults act, don't you? Hopefully mature. Some do, some don't. And when those that don't, what do they have to be? Reminded by Scripture of what it is to act like an adult. And that's what chapter 4 is going to be all about, okay? Okay. I'm not going to ask any questions because, let's close in a word of prayer, and then if you do have questions, we can attempt to answer them. Okay? Dear Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Lord, above all, we just thank you for Christ and for who we are in him and for all the blessings that you've given to us because of that. In your name we pray.
Amen.